wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Hello, welcome to everybody, whether it's morning, noon, or night when you're listening. Today's episode, Nails, Hammers, and Nervous Systems, Rethinking What Heals. You are listening to the podcast, Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and you are listening on the Inspired Choices Network. Have you ever heard the expression, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail? Well, Western medicine has, in my mind, totally monopolized our mindset that we literally have begun to believe, one, if you don't go to the doctor every year, you're going to get sick, as if our preventative visits are significant, are what prevents the real illness. Two, that medicines and surgery are literally the only way that disease gets better. And yet, let me put this out. With the plethora of drugs that we now have and the incredible advances in surgery and surgical devices in the last year, and I want to celebrate all that. This is not this or that. I believe in this and that. But with all these drugs, all these medicines, all these technological advances, how come we don't have less disease, but rather exponentially an increase in chronic, physical, and mental illness both? Now, I really am a believer of Western medicine. I grew up as the daughter of a surgeon, and my father healed so many people. He was a great surgeon, really in the trenches, operating every day, making people better from acute illnesses when the gallbladders were infected, if there was, you know, cancers in the bowel, cancers elsewhere. Taking out cancers was really critical. Taking out appendicitis with infection, draining abscesses, all of this acute care illness, prescribing antibiotics when the antibiotics, when the bacteria overwhelm the system and the system is getting very, very sick. Fabulous need for Western medicine. This weekend, I had a family member who got sick, and I am absolutely indebted to the emergency room people who took him in immediately and gave him the care that he needed. And so this is not to get upset with Western medicine. I'm in the fertility world, and IVF, in vitro fertilization, and sperm washing and inseminations have revolutionized and brought joy and pleasure and families to people who would not have otherwise had families. So this is not about critiquing the system we have. This is about adding to the system we have. This is about understanding integrative medicine and root cause medicine. And what I want to remind people is, you know, the scientific method has been about using science to systematically and logically get answers. And that's great. It's really important. But as a human race, we've had thousands and thousands of years of how did we live? And did we, were we always sick? And we hear the stories of that our lifespan is so much longer now than it used to be. And while that's true, some of that is because people would die young from infectious diseases, measles, mumps, rubella, and other infections like appendicitis or gallbladder infections. And there were cancers, but not to the level we have now. And so if you made it out of childhood when you were in the 1800s, let's say, or the 1700s, many people did live, you know, long lives in their 70s and 80s and stuff like that. And so something about how they were living must have been, they must have been doing something right. And so to throw out all of human lifestyle and human behaviors that may contribute to a healthy mind and a healthy body and healthy emotions and a connection to something larger than ourselves, that's critical to health as well. And yes, association is not always causation. And people forget that science also includes the observer. And so when we do a science experiment, we have a hypothesis that we put out and we're looking to prove or disprove the hypothesis. And the person doing the experiment is sometimes looking for the results that they want to get. And so that affects the outcome as well, and it affects the reporting. So I'm getting off topic. Let's go back to Western medicine and the difference between root cause medicine or integrative medicine. So Western medicine is we go to the doctor and we explain the symptoms that we're having. Hey, doc, I feel X, Y, and Z. There's tingling in my fingers, or there's pain in my stomach, or I have an acid burning in my upper chest, or chest pain in my heart. And the doctor listens to the symptoms of the patient and then also does an exam. And those are considered signs on the body. What do they notice on the body? And then we add lab tests and ultrasounds and x-rays to get a deeper view inside the body. And then we put all of that together, and from a very, very, very long list of numerous diseases, we come up with a name for an illness. And then we go back in that book and said, okay, in this book of medicines, in this book of diseases, these are the medicines or surgeries that we do to treat it. And you'll have this disease forever. And there have been so many diseases described, but if you go under that level, what functional medicine kind of does is say, you know, there's a lot of diseases that we have at the end of their name. The Latin word is itis, I-T-I-S, and that means it's inflammation. Well, if it's inflammation in organ A or inflammation in organ B or inflammation in organ C, seems like the underlying problem is inflammation. So maybe we should look at what's causing inflammation in the body. And maybe the primary problem is inflammation. Maybe in other cases, the primary problem, a lot of people have fatigue nowadays, and parts of their organs aren't working super well. And maybe it's a lack of energy and the cells don't have enough energy to do what they're supposed to do. And so maybe that's a metabolism problem. We're not getting enough energy in, or we're using too much energy. And so the balance of energy is off. And so maybe the underlying problem is an energy imbalance, and we need to heal that. And maybe it's toxins in the body, and we're not getting rid of toxins. And those toxins could be exogenous outside toxins, like chemicals in our environment that are skyrocketing nowadays and are fooling the body because they're binding to organs and we get confused. And maybe it's an infection and we're not going deeper to look at all the bacteria and the other stuff that might be in the body in the gut. So all I'm saying is there may be lots of different names for disease, but the underlying problems actually may be similar. And if you go even below that, perhaps the energy imbalances and how we do life differently may come from choices of lifestyle and we're thinking differently. So if we're ruminating all the time and focusing on fear of illness, Then number one, the subconscious often tries to give us what we focus on. So, and we're ruminating, which uses lots and lots and lots of brain energy. And so the brain is a very small part of the body physically, but uses so much energy. And so if we aren't getting enough energy because we're eating the wrong foods or the gut has been damaged, then we're not absorbing the energy that we're getting in. And so we get into energy imbalances. And so functional medicine is taking Western medicine and making it a systems approach. We have one body, and if one organ is off, that's going to affect other organs. If hormones are off in one place, it's going to affect other organs. If we take a drug that helps one part of the body, there may be side effects that help that are bad for another part of the body. And so the body is an incredibly intricately wired self-cleaning oven, if you will. And it's always trying to get back to equilibrium, to homeostasis. And so when we are ill, it means that somehow we're doing something that's pulling us off the center of the seesaw to one side or the other. And we need to do something to pull us back. And so functional medicine is trying to get a systems approach and using Western medicine, but using more than that. And then integrative medicine is using tools outside of Western medicine. So those tools could be energy healings. They could be psychological healings, changing how you think. They could be meditation, which helps you not focus on your thoughts. They could be Reiki, acupuncture, herbs, deeper nutrition, understanding that different organs may approach nutrition differently. There could be massage, physical therapy, chiropractic. There could be homeopathy, which is the law of similars, which to me for many years made very little sense. How would taking the smallest, tiniest little bits of something actually help the body heal? And yet, when I looked at vaccination, we use vaccines all the time. And vaccines are there. Same thing, we take an illness that kills and we weaken it and we give it in very, you know, small amounts in a weakened amount. And lo and behold, we get immunity to this bug. So there are so many other ways of healings that have been around for many, many, many thousands of years. And it was part of the culture. People had meditative practices, morning, noon, night, or morning and night. Maybe it was religious, maybe it was just meditation. And the science wasn't there yet to explain what happens in the brain when we meditate. And now science is catching up with us, teaching us that it works. There's experiments in monkeys about the need for touch, and that given a soft mom in a cage or a wire mom with food, the monkey would prefer the touch over food. And humans need touch. And we learned that during COVID, when we caused lots of mental illness, which may have led to lower, higher sensitivity to disease or lower resiliency, because we are social species and we need connection and touch. And so massage and physical therapy really help. Talk therapy and having connections to humans help. And so we can't split the mind and the body. We can't split the emotions. And we are one big system. Again, a self-cleaning oven. We have a thermostat, and we're always trying to get back to equilibrium. And the body can heal so much if given the right tools. And so we need to learn what tools we can get to get us healthy and use the drugs and surgery for short period of time for the acute illness to get you well enough to build the behaviors that help you stay well. And this is the perfect time for us to take our first break. Let us take a breath. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and this is the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. And today we are focusing on healing techniques that are above and beyond Western medicine. We're not here to get rid of Western medicine. We're here to celebrate Western medicine, which in the old days was called allopathic medicine, but we're here to add to it, to have way more ways to heal, and to perhaps realize that drugs and surgery are only one part of the issue. So let's go back to the fact that we've been taught that we need to focus on disease. We go to the doctor to make sure we don't have a disease. That tells me already we're living in fear, right? A big problem, I think, is the unknown. And when we don't understand our bodies, then every time we feel something that's off kilter, we jump off to, do I have a disease? Instead of, what did I eat wrong in the last few days? Or what did I do wrong that may have caused some pain, right? So number one, it might be really good to educate our kids about lifestyle and how to live in a healthy fashion and educate how the body works in a little more depth. It used to be that, the physicians were educated in Latin and healing, and the public didn't really know how to access it. Kind of like when religion came on board and priests needed to be the interconnector between spirituality and the lay public. Now the lay public, with the information age, we can read so much medicine and science, and we can start being more advocates for ourselves and understanding better how the body works. We have now lots of tools on biohacking and learning about the body. And so that could help decrease the fear, but for some people, they read more and more and they get heightened fear. So it's also learning about controlling your thoughts. So number one, we need to stop believing that just because you get old, you get sick. That's not true. And if you go and read about the blue zones where people live to be over 100, and there's pockets around the world of very healthy aging people, you can read about their lifestyles and choose to live that way. And so it's not inevitable to get old. Your genetics are a piece of the puzzle. And the genetics also are not a proof that you will get sick. The same amount of people had a mutation in the BRCA gene in the 1920s as now, but we have way more breast cancer now. So it's not just what mutation you have in the DNA, but it's how your DNA is interacting with your lifestyle. Okay. And so again, don't fear your genetics. Make your genetics your friend. Understand your genetics. Work with your genetics. And if you have certain mutations, which I have certain mutations on how I metabolize folic acid, which is a vitamin. And so I make sure that I eat foods that work better for my body because I don't convert folic acid to folate very well. So I need to take folate and that vitamin in vegetables and not in rich flour. So, there might be supplements. So knowing your own genetics can help you proactively change your body. So we don't want to fear getting old. We want to stay young. There's a great book by Peter Attia called Outlive. And he says, what do you want to be able to do when you're 100? And can we dial it back? So you want your future self to determine how you live in your present self. And then take steps to live that way so you can stay healthier longer. We don't want you living in fear. So the biggest part of modern society and illness is that we live in a society that is so rushed and with overload on information. And so most of us are living with the sympathetic nervous system, fight, flight, freeze, please, collapse. And we're on this conveyor belt that keeps speeding up with more and more information. And our nervous systems are constricted and they're looking for fear and they're looking for, am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? And that's not a bad thing to have a fear mechanism to make sure you're safe all the time. But in the old days, the body would, safety was, am I dying? Is there a lion about to kill me? Am I going to be someone else's dinner? Am I in a flood or a tsunami and I need to get to higher ground? Okay. And we need to have a sympathetic nervous system to keep us safe when we are truly running from a predator or needing to build shelter from weather. But getting 100 on the test in fourth grade is not life or death. And yet we've been raised in a system that somehow believes mistakes are bad and we're always searching for, am I safe? And most of the time, you're really safe. Mistakes are just that. They're mistakes. And so if we start realizing, if I'm breathing, I'm alive, I am okay, and the rest is story, and do I need to change something to help my body get back to a safer way of being? Am I acutely in danger and I need to go to the emergency room? By all means, it's really wise to have the sympathetic nervous system to say, I'm really, really sick right now. This is not normal body function for me. I'm going to go to the ER. And if you're not in emergency room, I'm dying of a heart attack, or I'm having a seizure, or I have 105 fever, then using other ways to get better may be in your best interest. And the first one might be getting control of your brain and your thoughts. Am I dying? No, my heart's racing because I'm about to give a podcast and I get nervous, or I'm about to give a speech to my boss and I might lose my job. Well, if you lose your job, that will be very, very difficult for you, but it's not really life or death, because there will, if you're a good worker, you'll find a way to get another job. So let's talk about lifestyle stuff and prevention that you can add to your day to try and prevent life, prevent illness, sorry, celebrate life, prevent life. So number one is nutrition. What are you eating? And that goes for, are you getting enough protein in your diet? Really important to get enough protein, because protein makes all the enzymes that help your cells work. And we don't make all those proteins and all those amino acids by ourselves. We need to take them in. We are in an interconnected world, and the plants and animals can help us stay alive because they can give us amino acids that we can't make ourselves. So are we getting enough protein? Are we getting enough vitamins? Vitamins are like, if the protein are the machinery, vitamins are like the locks or the key that goes in the lock to turn the machinery on. And if we don't have enough vitamins, we can't turn the machinery on and we can't make energy. And if we can't make energy, the cells won't work. So we need all the different colors of the rainbow, because those tell us we're getting a variety of vitamins and minerals. We need fat. Our cell membrane is made of fat. And the cell membrane, without the cell membrane surrounding all your cells, each cell, we don't have a cell. And the cell membrane controls, with the proteins in it, what comes in and out of the cell. And what comes in and out of the cell is the things like the amino acids, the sugars, the vitamins, the minerals, to help the DNA get turned on and off so we can make the machinery, so that we can make energy in the mitochondria. And so if we don't have good fats, then we can't get the cell membrane, and we can't detox stuff. And so we need protein, we need fat, we need vitamins, we need mineral, and yes, carbohydrates are sugars, and we need those because those are an energy source, but we don't need as much sugar as we're getting. And we need healthy fats, not unhealthy fats. We need real fats that nature made, okay? Avocados, nuts, seeds, avocado oil, olives, olive oil. Those are your best fats. We need all the colors of the rainbow, lots of fruits and vegetables, healthy proteins, beans, nuts, tofu, animal protein if you choose, from healthy animals. We don't want to be eating their stress, their antibiotics. So food is energy. Food is communication. It tells the cells and the DNA which DNA to turn on and off. So it's, and eating is a social activity, and we need social connection to ourselves, to others. When we eat, we have gratitude, which lifts our emotional state. We tell our body we are safe to eat. And so food is such a critical part of our health. And it's not taught in medical school. It's not emphasized in our educational system. And we are not eating real food from Earth. So I'm going to take our second break, and I'm going to remind you to keep a log of what you're eating and try and eat real foods that come from Mother Earth. So let's take our break. Remember, you are listening to Your Healing Podcast. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And today we're talking about hammers and nails and all different healing techniques.
Your healing playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is your healing playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground podcast. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. You can follow me at womensreproduction.com or Dr. Tina Plays. And let's go back to what we can do to help our bodies stay healthy and help our bodies return to health when they've been thrown off the center. So again, what I've talked about is we have two nervous systems, a sympathetic nervous system, fight, flight, freeze, please, or overwhelm. We heal when we're in the parasympathetic nervous system, rest, digest, relax, and reproduce. And we need to activate that parasympathetic nervous system to have our bodies do the healing for us and have our bodies prevent the illness, okay? So two people can show up and be exposed to a virus or a bacteria. One gets sick, one doesn't. And the difference is not the virus. The difference is the way the virus interacts in their body. And so if their body was compromised or living in that fight, flight, freeze, or please, it is way more likely that it might get ill. And so we need to do things to help the body get back to its healing mode, that parasympathetic nervous system. And life is like a seesaw. There's always the ins and the outs. So we talked in the last segment a lot about food. And we need the right food. We need proteins, vitamins, minerals, healthy fats, okay? We need real foods that were put on this planet for us to eat. Lots of designed food. If it comes out of a box or a bag and was never on this ground, if it comes out of a chemical plant, it's chemistry. And it may not really be food chemistry, like baking a cake is chemistry too, but we want to eat real foods, right? But we need the ins and the outs. So food is really critical to our health, but to get the food into our cells, we need a healthy gut. So we need to be in that rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system where the gut is relaxed and not constricted and super tight so that the food can cross. If you are racing from a tiger or running an ultra marathon, right, the body is not supposed to be digesting food. The body, if you're running from a tiger, the body says, send all energy, all blood to the heart and the muscles, not to the intestines. It's not important to digest if you're running for your life. So when we live life in that fight, flight, freeze, or please, and we're anxious and neurotic and fearful and rushing all day, we're not in a digestive mode. So when we sit to eat, you want to sit down, you want to have gratitude, you want to take a few breaths, you want to focus on the sensations that you're eating. Ideally, you eat in the company of others. You are telling your body it is safe to eat food, enjoy the food. Now, if you're eating food, the body is a machine where things come in and things go out. And we need to get rid of waste. Imagine if you didn't clean your house of the garbage. It would stay in your house and the house would start to smell. And you might get mold and infection and vermin and all that yucky stuff, right? Your house would be gross. And that's true in your body. You need to empty out waste. So we need a really healthy system to take in the nutrients, and then we need healthy organs to get rid of waste. We need to sweat. We get rid of waste through sweat. That means we need to be well hydrated to have enough fluid to sweat. We need to move our bodies to encourage sweat. And I talk about joyful movement. It doesn't have to be running like a hamster on a wheel at the gym. It can be taking a walk outside. It could be dancing with your children. It could be pushing your kids on a swing. But you need to move your body and sweat some. Very important to sweat and very important to move your body. We need to breathe. We need to breathe correctly. We need to breathe through the nose, not the mouth. If we're breathing through the mouth, doesn't that remind you of someone running away and not wanting to get injured? It is very dangerous for the body to breathe through the mouth. The mouth is a tool for speaking, and it's there for dire needs to breathe. There's an amazing book called Breathe, and they clogged the nose and did a science experiment on mouth breathing. And very shortly after they were breathing through the mouth, blood pressure went up and cholesterol went up and lots of other parameters went to pot. And when they switched, they did 2 weeks one way and then they switched and they closed the mouth and had nasal breathing and they slept better. Blood pressure went down, cholesterol went down, and all the parameters got back to normal. The body can heal itself. So we want to breathe through our nose and we want to breathe slowly. The animals on earth that breathe the slowest live the longest. So slow your breathing down. It tells your body it's safe. And how we breathe can actually direct our body, which nervous system we are using. So if you need to up it because you're doing a running race or because you need energy in the morning to speed your, we might increase our energy. And if we want to relax, we go in through the nose and very slowly through the mouth. So there are lots of breath work healing modalities that you can learn that will help you shift your nervous system. Very critical to breathe correctly, and especially when you sleep at night. If you breathe through your mouth, and if you have sleep apnea or snoring and you're not getting good enough sleep, your body can never get out of fight or flight. The body thinks if you're not sleeping, it's because you're partially awake because there's a tiger at the opening of the cave. And so the body is saying, oh, we're not sleeping. We can't heal. We need to just stay on high alert, and run away from the tiger. We need to poop. Defecation is important. We need a healthy liver to detox our hormones and a lot of the molecules, and then we need to excrete them. So we need a healthy bacterial lining in all our intestines to absorb our food and to get rid of it. We need foods that help move things along, like ginger and artichoke. We need magnesium. That's a really critical mineral for muscle contraction. And we need muscle contraction to move our big muscles, but we also need muscle contractions to move our intestines to clear us out. And again, we have to pee and urinate out and clean our blood through the urine. And we need to be well hydrated. So to stay healthy, remember, we need to eat right, real foods, slow down while we're eating, be in the right state of mind while we're eating, breathe correctly, hydrate, sleep well, and clear our system out. And so we talked about sleep. I want to also talk about the outdoors, because being outdoors is really critical to our bodies as well. If we're outdoors early in the morning and again at sunset, we are teaching all our organs, oh, we are outdoors. We're not living in a box in a cave with fake light. There's beautiful sun out and the sun is going down. Our organs don't have Apple Watches to know when to work, but we have in our brain, in the pineal gland, a chrono clock, which is to know the time of day so that the organs know when to be active and when they get to rest. When we're living indoors, we're not seeing sunlight, and it's becoming more and more critical for us because the lights in our houses now do not have all the wavelengths of light. And so the body's not getting Roy G. Biv, all the wavelengths of light. When we go outside to sun, it's like, if you put a plant in the closet and fed it food and water, would it blossom? No, the plant needs sunlight. We humans are no different. We are the universe in human form. Plants are the universe in plant form. And our organs need to know there's a sun outside in the morning and that there's a dusk. Nighttime is coming. And when we see the red light at night, think campfires, the body knows to get ready for bed. When we're staring at computers and phones at night, we are seeing blue light and the body is confused. If the body doesn't get enough sunlight, the body literally thinks we are living underground in a cave. Well, why would we be living underground in a cave? Because there's a predator or an apocalypse and we are unsafe outside in the real world. If we are unsafe outside in the real world, the body, like the bear, thinks it's time to hibernate for a healthier time to come out into life. And a healthier time is when we're going to be working again. So if we're in hibernation mode, everything you eat is going to be stored as fat, waiting for future. We're going to sleep a lot and be fatigued because the body's not going to make energy. It's saving its energy for when we arrive and awake and leave the cave, okay? It is literally in hibernation mode. We gain weight, we get fatigued, we get brain fog. The body wants you to sleep and hibernate until you're safe to enter real life. The body doesn't realize our real life is living in a box, in a house indoors, or in an office indoors, and that's real living. So again, sunlight is critical. Breathing is critical. Food, the right foods, is critical. Outdoors, we also get different microbiomes, and we're connecting with nature. And when nature, when we remember we are part of nature and we ground and our feet are touching the earth, we get electrons from the earth and energy. It's like literally plugging our body into the earth to get energy. And we're getting sunlight, which improves our vitamin D levels, but also makes us smile and happy. And even weather, rain and thunder and lightning, to see weather helps our bodies remember we are outside and alive and vibrant individuals. And so we need the outdoors. We need to connect to nature. We need to get the microbiome that is outdoors. Outdoor air nowadays is probably healthier than indoor air, unless you're really living in a toxic neighborhood. We need gentle movement, not ultra marathons 24/7, because that again tells us we're running from a tiger. So we want to go out in the mornings and see the sun and go tell your body it is safe to be alive. Because when we get into that parasympathetic nervous system, we can heal. And I want to put in there, besides food and the ins and the outs of food, sweat, breathing, movement, sleep, outdoors, we need play. When we play like children, we are telling our bodies we are joyful and life is good and we are alive. And when we are beating ourselves up, living in fear, living in critical thinking, judgment, anger, despair, depression, the body is hibernating. It literally starts to hibernate because it doesn't feel alive. It's at the bottom. It's in fight, flight, freeze, please, or overwhelm mode. And the body is helping you by telling you to go to sleep. But what it really wants you to do is tell it it's safe to be alive. And I know this sounds simple, but it's real. When we feel our feels but move the energy through, we can get back to that parasympathetic nervous system. So it's not about not sometimes having sad thoughts or grieving or being frustrated. It's about sitting with those emotions and then actually moving them through so you can go up the emotional spiral and like, I'm alive to feel horrible. I'm going to celebrate that I'm alive to feel horrible because all the horrible things that happen to me are waste, but that waste, that garbage, that despair, is going to be food for my growth, and it's going to help me be fertilizer. Poop is fertilizer in the wild. And for you, bad outcomes, mistakes, failures, difficult parts of life can be fuel for your growth in this human journey that is life. So pain is human, suffering is a choice. And moving from that sympathetic, I'm not really dying, I'm just sad and miserable, into, I'm going to play with these emotions because I'm alive to feel them, helps the body get into a state where it actually can heal your body. And let's take a break on that note and celebrate at this break that you're alive and you can feel all the feels. And you can play with the feats.
Your healing playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten. And you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your host. We are on the Inspired Choices Network, and we are talking about ways to heal that are more lifestyle ways to heal that are outside the standard Western box of medicine and surgeries. And more physicians are coming to the recognition that lifestyle plays a huge role in your health. And I want to go beyond the body in the last few minutes we have, because you are a physical body, and we talked a lot about the physical body today. And I told you that genetics are one little piece of the puzzle, and not to fear your genetics, but proactively act to maximize your wellness based on your genetics. Well, adverse childhood experiences are not genetics, but they are more correlated with illnesses as an adult than your genetics is. Your zip code is more correlated with your lifespan than your genetics is. The people you hang around are, you become the people you hang around. So your thoughts, your emotions, and your connection to yourself, your connection to others, your connection to life itself, all have real energy forces in them. Your thoughts are real, and they affect that nervous system. Your emotions are real, and they affect that nervous system. The people you are with, the environment you're living in, whether you're indoors or outdoors, near the beach, in a big city, a concrete jungle, has an effect on your nervous system. And what I've been trying to point out is we heal and stay well when we are in the parasympathetic nervous system, when we are living in rest and digest, relax and reproduce. Our bodies will work for us, not against us. So we have to play with our thoughts. We can't control the thoughts that come in, but we can control which ones we perseverate on. If it's a negative thinking, bye-bye thought, you're not my best friend today. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to call in my best friend who's my cheerleader. I'm not going to listen to the thoughts that are hurting me. Similarly, emotions. We talked, if you are in a degenerative emotion, I have tools that help you move from degenerated emotions to a more regenerative emotion. So again, I can feel despair, but I can celebrate that despair because I'm alive and it's going to move me in the direction of my growth. So thoughts and emotions and our connections to ourselves, our connections to our loved ones, our connection to life itself. Can you celebrate today that you are alive? Can you have a gratitude that you are alive? Can you go to bed at night bragging about something you did, grateful for something in your life, and putting out into the universe a desire for how you want to be, to think, to feel, to create your life? A brag, a gratitude, desire. Thank you, Mama Gina. I will celebrate if you start every night with a brag, a gratitude, and a desire. Those three things, your nervous system will change. And breathe through your nose, get a good night's sleep, go out in the morning and see the sunshine. And I promise you, slowly but surely, you will feel more alive. And when you feel more alive, hopefully you will schedule more play, more pleasure, and that will come around to helping you feel more alive again. And so I invite you to your own healing playground. Start playing in your life, playing with your thoughts, your emotions, your connections, and loving this body, mind, body, heart, and soul. Thank you for today.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness. play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice, and play is your medicine.